In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
Welcome to the Red State Town Hall program. I'm your host, Primo Mondoni. My co-host, Ken Brown, will join me in a couple minutes. Please visit the show's website at redstatetownhall.com. While you're there, be sure to like us on both Facebook and Twitter. If you want to contact us, the email address is Primo, P-R-E-M-O, at redstatetownhall.com. Our show is broadcast here on Red State Talk Radio, America's premier grassroots conservative internet talk radio network. The show is also syndicated through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podomatic, TalkStream Live, Player.fm, Roku, and at least a dozen other websites. You can listen to the station using their Android, iPhone, and BlackBerry apps. Visit the station's website, redstatetalkradio.com, to download the appropriate app for your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, you can listen using any phone on the station's 24/7 listener line provided by TalkStream Live by dialing the following. Studio A, 605-562-4209, and for Studio B, 518-712-0045. Before we start the show, let's give a shout out to our AM and FM and digital affiliates, WDDQ FM 92.1, Adel, Georgia, WJNW AM 1650, Hermitage, Tennessee, Talk Radio AM 1620, KTFL, Gilbert, Arizona, WMQL Radio FM 105.5, Brevard, North Carolina, Coffin County Talk Radio, AM 1680, KCTR, Terrell, Texas, Tax Pro Radio, Gainesville, Georgia. Now let's bring on my co-host from Atlanta, Georgia, Mr. Ken Brown. Mr. Brown, how you doing today?
So did you get Texas right this time?
Yeah, I had to pause there just for a second because our lovely lady who's been correcting me on all my pronunciation.
She corrected me too.
Well, I don't know, I guess. But anyway, she left us another message last night when I came in last night. Yeah. She left another message, and she was correcting me on she said, Terrell's like Carol. It'd be like, it's not Terrell, it's not Terrell, it's not whatever I've been doing. It's like Terrell.
Like Terrell, Texas?
Terrell, Texas, what she said.
That's what I said. I said that last
night. Well, maybe that is what you said. I don't know. I couldn't remember. But I just know Terrell. I've been doing it wrong, so... And so I had to think when I got ready to do that, I go, okay, now wait, Terrell, Texas.
So she'll be happy.
She'll be happy. She says she listens to us every week. So she'll be happy. I think I did it right at the time. First of all, happy Father's Day. This is when we record this, this is Sunday. So it's Father's Day. So happy Father's Day to all you folks out there who are fathers, and maybe your fathers don't even know it. So anyway, whatever. Also, I got to thinking about it. I asked you before the show started if you saw Jurassic World yet. You said no, you hadn't seen it yet. I saw it last weekend, which, by the way, was the biggest weekend ever for a box office for a movie, a theater in movie-going history, which I thought that was pretty good.
That's all relative, Primo, you know, because they raised the prices of the tickets. So I think that's.
That is part of it. I'm not sure if those things are. I'm almost sure they're not inflation adjusted because and here's the reason I kind of brought this whole thing up is that do you know what the first movie was that actually was the very first movie that was what they considered a summer blockbuster?
No.
Well, I saw this online. There was an article about this online because this whole thing with Jurassic World came up and someone wrote an article about it. It used to be in the old days that summers were a dull downtime for movies. Studios released what they considered their B movies in the summer because they figured everybody was on vacation. Nobody wanted to fool with the movies. They were at the beach, whatever. And so that's when that was their off kind of period. They just released whatever they had in the can that, well, we'll put it out in July. Nobody's going to care. Nobody's going to see it and whatever. The first movie to do that was Jaws.
Oh, really?
And if you think that, and here's my memory, that's the first movie I remember having to stand in line for. And it makes sense now. I mean, that, and I had never had to do that before. Because when Jaws came out, we were young men. I mean, I think we're talking 1975. That was my senior year in college. Senior year in high school.
Yeah.
And so, but I remember having to go to see Jaws, and I was amazed. I had to stand outside in the heat waiting to get in. I thought, what is the deal? You know, and I never had done that before. And
I remember the theater being packed for Jaws. Like, it was arm-to-arm thing.
And here's the thing about Jaws, and here's what makes another blockbuster. Here's what makes a movie go to all-time grossing films is when people go and see it multiple times. Jaws is the first movie I ever went to that I saw twice in a theater. But I didn't see it twice. I saw it seven times. But the reason is not as obvious. It's not that I thought it was a great film. I thought it was a good popcorn movie. It was a good thing to go to. But I was young, I was fancy free, I was in high school, and I went with several different girls. So each time I took a different girl. So and I think once I went with a bunch of buddies. So. Because those days are long past. I couldn't even come up with one girl right now if I want to take one out to a movie. But it's a sad, pathetic life I lead, but that's just the way it is.
Well, you know, nowadays, though, it's if Jaws came out today,
it would be
in 3D and all those the things they do now. And,
And that helps raise the box office. Yeah, it helps raise box office, too.
And it would be a blockbuster, of course.
I mean, yeah.
So
yeah, but here's the thing. Do you know how much Jaws did in their domestic box office that year? First year. Now this is going to sound like a low amount because again inflation and prices going up. $260 million.
Yeah.
And Jurassic World did around $208 million the first weekend.
You talked 40 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, right. And back then, a movie would stay in the theaters longer than it does now because there weren't as many movies being made and stuff. So, you know, whatever. I thought it was kind of interesting. You know, the only other movie I ever remember having to really stand in line for was Independence Day way back in what year was that? I don't know. In the 90s, I guess.
Well, see, now you don't have to do that. At least – where I go to the movies, you reserve the seats like you do a ball game.
On top of that, guess what? I mean, you go to a movie theater, and now movie theaters have 10, 12, 16 cinemas. Back in the old days, it was either one or two. Maybe a four. You might go to a place that had four cinemas, maybe.
Yeah, that's true. What I'm saying is I can reserve the seats.
Oh, I know you can now. I've never done that. You've told me that you do that all the time. And you get those reclining seats where you take a nap and the whole thing.
It's like watching a movie at home, but with a huge screen like that.
You know, at some point they're gonna have that. They'll have the reclining seats. You're going to be able to order beer. You're going to be able to order whatever you want. And they'll have strippers, too. It'll be just like, you know.
That'll be your kind of theater, won't it?
No, not really. I need to tell you some stories about that one of these days. I've only been to a strip club twice. I went. A friend taught me into going because it's a long story. We'll talk about that another day. But anyway, let's get started. We're supposed to be a conservative conservative show. I think we need to stick to that. Oh, Lord. Let's see here. Okay. Oh, real quick. Two new programs were added to the lineup this week on Red State Talk Radio. They've already aired. I'm going to let you know. Behind the Lines, hosted by Gene Bardelli and Russell Gallo. They're going to be on Saturdays, 6 p.m. on Studio B on Red State Talk Radio. And another new show, The Vito and Vito Show, hosted by, listen to these names now, this sounds like they're part of the cast of The Godfather, Vito DiGiovanni and Vito Palmieri. They're going to be on Studio B, Red State Talk Radio, on Saturdays at 7 p.m. So, Behind the Lines, 6 p.m. Saturday, Studio B, Vito and Vito, 7 p.m., Studio B on Red State Talk Radio. Pretty good shows. I listened to both of them. The Vito and Vito guys are actually college guys. So we got young millennials doing a conservative broadcast. And they're in New York. Both these shows are stationed out of New York. They come out of New York.
They're college, they're conservative, and they live in New York.
Yeah, that's three strikes against you right there.
Wow.
So, when I heard that, I thought, well, I'm at least listening to the show. I thought it might be something we might want to carry. So I listened to both the shows. I thought, we'll put them on the air. Yeah, we'll go ahead and do that. So, anyway, yeah. All right, let's move on. Oh, first story I want to get to here. the Bank of Greece is in, they've been in bad shape for a long time. Let's just get that out of the way, I guess. But they're saying, the Bank of Greece is saying that they have an uncontrollable crisis, and everybody's sitting here waiting to see what's going to happen when they open the banks up tomorrow on Monday. And the UK is drawing up a contingency plan, and Greece has already had their debt and stuff kind of forgiven and so forth, and but they're probably going to pull out of the European Union. Pull out of the euro money system, and this could have repercussions not just in Europe, but it could actually affect us too. Because when these kinds of things happen, it's not good for anybody.
It affects us. It affects the market.
Well, yeah, it affects. This is a world economy now. We're not isolated anymore. Maybe were a few years, maybe decades past, but things have just got, because of the internet and because of technology, we're all kind of tied in together. I don't know if they falter, I'm not wondering if the euro's going to make it, you know? Well, who knows? I think Great Britain was smart in keeping their own currency.
Oh yeah, I think so too.
They were criticized a lot for not joining the euro of the European money deal, but I think that was smart on their part because they're in a lot better shape now. They got their problems too, but they're in a lot better shape than most European economies for the most part.
Well, they had some forethought there. They probably could see what was coming with the euro and Commonwealth like that. I'm surprised they didn't go along with it the first time, but somebody has some
common sense.
Some futuristic thinking and seeing where that was headed.
Yeah, everybody talks about the world, a new world order, and having a world dominated currency and all that kind of stuff. And I guess that may happen at some point. I hope it doesn't, to be honest with you. But I think most Americans, now I need to rephrase that. Most Americans who have any common sense at all, and most Americans who value American sovereignty, would not go for that kind of thinking. Now, there are people out there, socialists and communists and stuff, who think that this whole one world order thing is a neat thing, and we all love each other, and we all just sit around the campfire singing Kumbaya, and we all exchange our goods based on one common system, and all that kind of crap. And I think it's a horrible path to go down. I just don't think it's good. I don't think it's good for us, and I don't think really it's good for anybody as far as that goes.
No, and I think you see the same thing going on with Common Core. You know, it's when you nationalize an educational system like that, it's not good. It's just not. It's not good. It gives control to whoever's in power, and they teach your kids what they want to teach them. That's the problem.
Well, the biggest problem I have with the whole thing of a one world currency is I don't want the stupid decisions that people make in other parts of the world. Let's say, for example, Europe, or if it's going to be a world currency, let's say Brazil or somewhere in Africa or whatever. I don't want, or in Asia, I don't want their stupid decisions to affect the value of my money. If our own country makes stupid decisions and affects the value of our money, well, that's just our own fault. Mm-hmm. But I don't want somebody halfway across the world determining the money I get for my business or for a salary or whatever. I don't want that to be affected by someone halfway across the world that has nothing to do with me or my country or my life. That's just dumb. Yeah. Why would you give that up?
I think look at the United States. Look at the states themselves and their own governments and how they run their own governments and how some states do very well. Some states do awfully.
Yeah.
They don't. Look at California, look at Illinois, and then turn around and look at Texas, and look at Florida, look at Georgia. I'm sure Tennessee is doing much better. I mean, the conservative governments are better than the liberal governments. And it's when you centralize things, you give a few people control of everything.
Yeah.
And so those people make bad good decisions. That's great. They make bad decisions. It's awful for everybody.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, since we're one union, 50 states, then it makes sense to have a common currency for all 50 states. But I think if you spread that beyond people who don't have the same internal interests, like I say, like, for example, China doesn't give a rat's ass about us other than the fact that they want us to buy their products and blah, I mean, whatever. So they're going to do what's best for China. They're not going to do what's best for the world or the United States, for that matter. And to be honest with you, we probably wouldn't care too much about doing what's best for the world or anyone else other than ourselves. That's normal. So that's why you want to have currency based on your own country's interest and your own country's policies. If someone really screws the pooch, they screw the pooch for themselves. It's like Greece, for example. We're going back to Greece. If Greece were its own entity and was not a part of the European Union and didn't use the euro, if they had problems, it would be far less likely to affect other people than it is now. And really, the only person in the European Union that has their crap together is the Germans.
Yeah.
The rest of them, Italy, Greece, France, they've gone so far to the socialist side of things that it's no wonder they're having trouble.
That's the trouble we're getting into.
That's exactly, we're heading down that very same road. Okay, let's move on. So new stuff, newly discovered Benghazi emails have been found recently, and John Boehner had a terrific quote this week when he was asked about the Benghazi emails. Now, first of all, I don't like John Boehner. I think he's a jerk. I think he's most of the time he's against the American people. He's against true conservatism, et cetera, et cetera. But he had a good quote. And someone was asking him about the new Benghazi emails, and John Boehner said, his basic, I think the quote, I don't have it exactly in front of me, but he said something like, it all depends on what the meaning of all is. In other words, all the emails. Supposedly, she gave out all the emails, and it just depends on what the meaning of all is. And that was he did that on a tweet, and got a little bit of coverage and stuff, and rightly so, because it was a good little stab at Hillary there. So
it was very pertinent.
We're not going to talk about a whole lot about Hillary today. We are going to talk about some more stuff about presidential politics. We're going to talk about Bush and Trump, who got into the presidential race this past week. But we'll do that a little bit later in the show. What we want to talk about next, let's see if we can't get this under the radar before we start. Yeah, I think we'll go ahead and get started on this. There's an article on RedStateTalkRadio.com from the Daily Caller. And the question that's posed in the article says, are Obamacare's 22 health insurance co-ops near financial collapse? And if you read the article, you find out that, yeah, pretty much they are. So, I'm so amazed at the stupidity of people who still think this thing is a good thing. I just cannot believe that people don't see what's going on here. And which, by the way, we are now, since today's Father's Day, as you know, June 21st, the Supreme Court decision on this Obamacare subsidy case, Ken, will probably be made this week. It might be next week, but they almost always do it sometime in June.
Jump roll, please.
Yeah, and there's a really good article on this from the Heritage Foundation. It's on RedStateTalkRadio.com. I posted it this morning about how to respond to King versus Burwell. And basically, it's explaining what Congress's first step should be to assuming that the subsidies are going to be in trouble, which I think they are. I mean, I don't know. You never know about the Supreme Court. They can go either way. Says that basically they need to remove the costly mandates of driving up premiums. Ladies and gentlemen, you should go to this article, because what's neat about this article, when you go to this article, you should read the first part of the article, click the link to go to the full article to Heritage Foundation. And when you get to the full article, there's actually a little map that you can click on. And if you click on your state, it will tell you how much you're being overcharged because of the mandates that are in Obamacare. Some outfit did a study, and for example, let me give you an example, Ken. I looked at Tennessee. I think it was Tennessee. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I looked at Tennessee. I looked at a couple of states. But, you know, Obamacare, the way it works is everybody pays the same premium, whether you're old or young. And we all know that old people tend to use their health insurance dollars more than a young person. A 21-year-old is not going to have as many health insurance claims as a 60-year-old. That's just the fact. Okay? Right. Now, in the real world, the premiums for an older person versus a young person would be about three times more. You would expect to pay three times more in premiums if you're an older person versus a young person, because young persons don't have very many claims, right? But in the Obamacare world, guess what the ratio is for an older person versus a younger person?
What?
It's about 5-1. Which means that the younger person is getting screwed more than what he was, you know, a lot more than he was before. But it makes it a good deal for the older person. But one of the reasons that's so bad like that is because of the subsidies and because of the way the whole thing is set up. And this article goes step by step on some of the things that should happen. Now, I'm not sure if I agree with everything it says in the article, but at least it's a start. And I hope that some of the members of Congress have read this article or will read this article, because guess what? In this week or probably next week at the very latest, they're going to be faced with maybe having to come up with some way of fixing this thing. And I don't think fixing's the way to do it. I think they should just admit it's a total failure and start from scratch. But they should take some of the ideas in this article from the Heritage Foundation as at least a jumping off point. This is my opinion, but
well, I'm hoping that there's already something that they can go to. I mean, you can't sit here and tell me they don't have some idea of what to do if the Supreme Court rules against Obamacare.
Well,
I mean, there's got to be some sort of plan that they can go to, or something, putting people on Medicaid, whatever it is, something. I mean, there's got to be some kind of plan.
Well, there is word they've been working on it, but they've not been publicizing it because they didn't want to, I guess, stir the waters up until they had to. But supposedly they have been meeting behind closed doors, and that always scares me when they do that, and trying to come up with a solution for this in case the subsidies are outlawed. Well, actually, they wouldn't be outlawed. They would be following the law because the subsidies are not supposed to be being done the way they are. That was Obama and his rogue agency, the IRS. Which, by the way, the IRS, is there any doubt now that based on what we just talked about and based on the fact that they've got all these other IRS emails from Lois Lerner, they got over 6,400 IRS emails from Lois Lerner that they magically came up with, Ken, and they're saying that they can't give those to Congress because they're checking for duplicates for and before they'd never done that before. They just sent whatever they had. They're just stalling again.
Stonewalling,
stalling, whatever you want to call it.
And that means they're up to no good. That means there's things in there that can incriminate the administration, and that's why they're holding it.
Yeah, and the thing is, what I'm getting at, there's absolutely no reason to believe that the IRS is playing on the up and up. These guys are crooks. These guys have been screwing us, and they've been getting away with it. And as far as I'm concerned, they're a rogue agency, and they should be demolished. They should be wiped off the face of the earth.
Another reason for the fair tax.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate the idea that everybody. The law states that if somebody has to come in my house, they need a warrant. But if you have IRS on the back of your back, on your little vest, you can break my door down.
Yeah.
You don't need a warrant or anything. And I'm thinking, is that possible? How can any entity in the government have that kind of power? And they had that power.
Well, not only can they break into your house and do whatever and confiscate everything you've got, they can lock down your bank accounts and take and withdraw every penny you've got, you've never been found guilty of anything. It's just exactly. Whatever.
Before you're guilty,
you're even found
guilty of something.
Yeah, I know.
And that's something. Yeah,
it's amazing they have that power, and I can't believe that Congress and the American people have stood by and let that happen.
I'm totally with you. Totally with you. And now they're in charge of Obamacare. They're in charge of overseeing and enforcing that.
Big mistake.
Taxes. I'm like, what? You're giving the IRS more power than what they already have? Scary. So yep. Scary.
Well, we'll get. Actually, we need to do a thing on the fair tax one of these days. We should have done it in April. It just slipped by us. Anyway, we got to go to break. We're running a little late. Thank you for listening. We'll be right back. Stick with us.
Hi, this is Jeff Carlisi from the band 38 Special. The mainstream media has failed the American people once again. Internet radio networks like Red State Talk Radio will not fail you. Tune in 24 hours a day, studios A and B. Great conservative programming around the clock. Red State Talk Radio, the dominant force in internet conservative talk radio.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom36.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 36.com. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom36.com.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra. Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-400-1756 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-400-1756 to take your call now. Call 800-400-1756. That's 800-400-1756. Again, 800-400-1756.
If you're diabetic, this message could change your life. Is your blood sugar out of control even when you do all the right stuff? Are you afraid of diabetic blindness and the risk of amputation, as well as all those other side effects? Well, you should be. Is there anything that could help manage your blood sugar? Nobetes is a natural supplement that may quickly and dramatically lower your blood sugar.
My name is Bob Corder. I've been using Nobetes for about 3.5 to 4 months now. And in the first 3 months, I've actually lowered my blood sugars from 500s down to 139, and then it dropped to 88 to 93.
My name is Kirsten. I'm a type 1 diabetic, and while taking Nobetes, my blood sugar levels dropped from 295 to 115 in just one day.
The FDA hasn't evaluated these statements, and Nobetes isn't intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But for many, it's helped drop their blood sugar. So if you've been evaluated with high blood sugar, don't delay. Evaluate Nobetes now. Call 800-554-7159 and get two bottles free. Just cover shipping and handling. Call 800-554-7159. That's 800-554-7159.
Hi, this is Primo Mondoni, General Manager for Red State Talk Radio. We've been bringing you the very best in grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio for over 5 years now. One thing I've learned in those 5 years is that internet radio is a tough, competitive business. And if the station is going to advance that next level, it's going to require a significant increase in investments in both personnel and infrastructure. Our listenership grew by 42% in 2014, and with our ever-expanding listener base, it's time that we begin the move to a more listener-supported model provide the station's future financial needs. Therefore, we're asking our loyal listeners to consider making a donation to help us reach our goals. Monthly subscriptions begin at only $2 per month. So please, help us restore conservative principles to our republic. Visit our website and become a Red State Talk Radio supporter today.
Red State Talk Radio. The Talk Monster.
The path to restoring our republic was laid down by our founding fathers. The principles of freedom, liberty, personal responsibility, and limited government are conservative ideals we will never abandon.
America is listening.
Grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio. It's on the internet. Tune in now. Red State Talk Radio, featuring some of the most popular internet talk show hosts in America today. Are you listening? RedStateTalkRadio.com.
Okay, we are back. Thanks for sticking with us. Basically, Ken, you know, the Republicans have screwed us again this week. Mitch McConnell. Well, first of all, the House passed this thing on the trade agreement this week. They redid some stuff and passed that. And now they're trying to, the Senate's now is going to try to come up with a way to apparently match the House bill. And McConnell, Mitch McConnell, is pushing. He's not having to push the Republicans. Unfortunately, in this case, Republicans are kind of all for it, at least most part. But he's trying to push the Senate Democrats to accept this fast track bill that Obama wants. And here's the thing. Anytime you get Mitch McConnell, John Boehner, and Barack Obama all on the same page, that is not good for the country. I mean, is that not an instant warning sign? That's a red flag, is it not?
Yeah, and you got the Democrats against it.
It's strange.
It's mind boggling. I don't understand any of that. I've tried to. I've heard different things about, you know, people talking about these trade things. Ryan, you know, Paul Ryan is all for it, and he sings its praises. And then you got flip side of other. Even Ted Cruz is for it, and I'm like, okay, yeah. I don't understand any. What is going on?
I mentioned last week that his support of the thing. I thought, well, no, wait a minute. Of course, there's no way in the world you're going to find somebody that you agree with on every single issue. But Ted Cruz has been one of those guys where almost every time something comes out, I agree with him. On this one, I think he's just dead wrong. Maybe I'm not looking at the whole picture. I don't know. But here's the thing. We don't know what the hell's in it. And for the most part, most of the congressmen and the senators don't know either unless they take the time to go up there and try to read some of that stuff. Because it's top secret. I don't get that either.
What does it remind you of?
Obamacare is what it reminds me of.
There you go. So if it reminds you of something like that, if they're going to do something behind closed doors and want you to pass something before you even read it, hello? That doesn't work for me. Didn't work the last time around. You had a 2,700-page bill you rammed down our throats, and look what happened.
Well, used to in this country, someone proposed legislation, and then people would propose amendments to the legislation, and then you'd have a debate. And then they would decide whether or not to pass the legislation as is, whether or not to accept the amendments, et cetera. We don't do that much anymore. Apparently, the new thing is to someone in the elite leadership decides we want this or we don't want this. And then everybody's supposed to just follow orders and do what the hell they're told. Well, I don't think that's good government. it's just not.
I'm in agreement.
What the hell are we doing to ourselves? And we keep electing the same jerks over and over again that keep doing this kind of crap.
And that's why they keep doing the same kind of crap, Primo, because they keep getting elected again and again. If you have term limits, they wouldn't be doing that. Everybody thinks their congressman, their senator walks on water.
Or at least they're not as bad as the others, anyway.
Yeah, and they reelect them, and I'm like, wait a minute. We got to get away from these career politicians. I mean, being in there 30, 40, 50 years, you got to be out of your mind. You're going to lose touch of all reality.
Well, these guys have. I mean, you can't convince me they understand. I mean, a congressman is supposed to be a citizen legislator. They're supposed to be from, they're part of us. And I just don't see that. And it's like we have a ruling class in Washington, and they're in a damn bubble, and they don't understand what the hell's going on in the rest of the country. And they're all too concerned with their own power, their own prestige, and getting invited to the right cocktail parties.
I think that's why you see the popularity of people like Ben Carson and Donald Trump.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, yeah, people, I'm tired of it. You're tired of it. I mean, I actually like listening to Ben Carson and Donald Trump. Even though I may not vote for him, I like listening to him because I like to hear somebody that's not a politician.
Yeah, we talked about this, I guess, some last week, but Donald Trump, we're kind of moving into our next segment, but Donald Trump, I might have mentioned this before. I don't know. If I did last week, but I know I mentioned this on Facebook and Twitter and stuff, but basically a lot of people are going to like what Donald Trump has to say because he just kind of cuts through the bull and just says what the hell he wants to say. And because he doesn't have political consultants telling him what the hell to say, he just says what the hell he thinks about whatever. Now, whether or not you agree with the guy or not, A, he's entertaining. B, he says there's no censor over him. He's basically saying whatever the hell he wants to say without any consideration as to, oh, will I offend this voting bloc and will I offend this particular group or whatever. He just says what he wants to say, and that in itself is refreshing. And but here's the problem with him is that some people will agree with some of the things he says, but I'm not sure they will like the messenger. They'll agree with the message, but not the messenger. So can Trump, because of his ego, can people get past that enough to maybe vote for him?
I don't know the answer to that question, but I do know that he's a big elephant in the room. And I don't mean a pun toward Republicans or anything, but I'm saying that he is the elephant in the room because he's going to control a lot of people's attention.
Oh, yeah.
Which is going to control the politicians' attention to him, especially the Republican attention. What happens if he goes to, let's say he, you know, doesn't get the nomination for Republicans, which he probably won't, and he goes independent? He could be another Ross Perot.
Oh yeah, that would be
Could be. He could be much more influential than Ross Perot was.
And then you'd have Hillary in the White House.
There you go. So that's the scary part about that is that he's got a lot more right now at this point in juncture, a lot more of a pull of than Ross Perot did, and I think that's only going to get bigger.
Yeah, he could be dangerous in terms of that. But here's the part I'm looking forward to, and I hope that if he can't win the nomination, he doesn't go independent because that would be a problem. But I am looking forward to him being on the debate stage. And when Jeb Bush gives a rhino answer to a question, and if they go to next to Donald Trump, Donald Trump's going to say, "That's stupid. That's not," or whatever. I mean, I don't know what he'll say.
He'll say you didn't ask the question. You danced all around, but you didn't ask the question, which is what they do.
Oh, that's what most of them do, and even some of them that we like that we agree with most of the part of the time. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I will give one thing about Ted Cruz, for the most part, he does answer the question.
Yeah,
he does. Now Marco Rubio sometimes will sidestep and dance a little bit, of course most of the others do as well. Trump's going to do that.
No, he won't do that.
And that will be refreshing. And you know what? If he gets hot in a couple of debates, of course, there's only going to be three this time.
Not nine, or we had last time. You emailed me a couple of times about Dana Perino and how she just
went
on him. And I just told you what I thought. I thought that, hey, she worked for George W. Bush. She's going to be a defender of the family, I think, the Bush family. And that includes Jeb. So I think that's why she fires back at Donald and makes him try to make him look so idiotic. But
yeah.
I think
she sees him as a potential threat, even though she tries to act like he's not. Why else would she respond so
that's what I mean
so strongly? I mean, ladies and gentlemen, if you've not seen this, go to YouTube and type Dana Perino flips out or something like that.
Yeah,
because literally she went crazy on Eric Bolling twice this past week on the Five about Donald, both times about Donald Trump. She was unhinged.
And she doesn't get that way.
She's not normally that way. I mean, there's no doubt about it that Dana Perino is more so rhino than conservative. That's just the fact, okay? But she's a smart, beautiful, intelligent woman for the most part.
And reserved
for the most part. But what she did two times last week was not smart, intelligent, or reserved.
Well, she was the press spokesman for the White House. I mean, you've got to be reserved. You got to keep things in
under
control. And she did not. Yeah, she lost. And there has to be a reason behind that. And I think you're right. I think
something's going on.
Trump's a threat to Jeb, and probably a threat to the Republican establishment. the rhinos, as the moderates, as you can call them.
Well, I'm thinking that, see, here's the thing about Trump that is unique for most of the other guys. He can cross over party lines because people who are Democrats, who vote Democratically normally, who maybe don't want to vote for Hillary, let's just say, mm-hmm. if they listen to Trump for a little bit, he has more of a populist message, and that can float over into the Democratic side of things. What I mean, he could be a cross threat in terms of getting votes from conservatives and liberals because he has this populist message, so to speak.
Well, he said himself that he would be the biggest jobs president ever in the history of this country.
And
I don't doubt that, actually.
Well, yeah, but you know, here's the thing. You don't have to be a Democrat or Republican to want jobs in this country. I mean, that's something that everybody wants. I mean, unless you're not going to work and you're happy getting your welfare check. I mean, then, you know, whatever. But at some point, he's going to open his mouth and say the wrong thing, and he's going to be in big trouble at some point. But he's pretty quick on his feet. But at some, you cannot go an entire presidential campaign and not screw it up, at least some. Even someone really smart, like even Ted Cruz, as far as I know, he's not really screwed the pooch yet on anything. He may say things that people don't like, but he's pretty sharp on his feet too. And it's going to be tough to pin Ted Cruz down on something like that.
Well, what happened last time is that whoever gets hot, whoever's a threat, will the liberals will target, and they'll try to find every little thing. Just like right now, Rubio seems to be the hot one, and they've gone after his speeding tickets or parking tickets or whatever crap that is. I mean, that's the best they can do. But they're gonna search the cobwebs, go through your history, go in the closet, try to find every little thing they can. If it's not about you, it'll be about your dad or your mom or your sister or somebody, and they'll come after you.
I don't think
they'll have the same success about Donald Trump because he's already been vetted in so many other ways.
Oh, Lord, he's the stuff he's done and the women he's dated. If they bring all that stuff up, but Donald will just say, I mean, like the whole thing with the money, you know, they basically painted Romney as this terrible rich guy. Yeah. And Trump handles that right off the bat. I got a lot of money. I'm really rich. You know, my net worth's around $9 billion. I'm really rich, and you know what? You can't buy me off. I can buy them off, and
he turns it into a positive.
Yeah, which is what Romney should have done. Romney should have been proud of his wealth, and Romney is a pauper compared to Donald Trump.
Yeah, exactly.
So. But see, that's the thing about Trump. Trump has a good media sense. He understands. He is P.T. Barnum. He knows how to sell himself and what he's selling. So he understands the way all that kind of stuff works. So getting past him on something like that, it's going to be tough. Now, that's not to say he won't screw up, because sometimes he does engage his mouth before he thinks. But, you know.
That's what people like about it.
But that's part of his charm, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
Let's get on to Bush. Bush,
well, of course, hold on announced, before you yeah, before go, going,
yeah, go ahead.
That's going to make that's the part I think is going to be the best thing about the Republican debates. If you put Trump on that stage, you're going to make a lot of people watch those debates that wouldn't watch it otherwise.
Yeah,
they won't be conservative. They won't be Republican people. They'll watch it because they want to see Donald Trump.
Yeah, that guy on The Apprentice. That guy on The Apprentice, he's running. He's going to be on there. You know, everybody knows who Donald Trump is.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're completely in a cocoon.
It'll be worth watching just for Trump alone.
Well, it's going to be worth watching for me, but we're political junkies, you know. But with Trump in there, the only thing, never mind, I was going to make a crude comment. I won't. But anyway, it'll definitely be entertaining. We only got about 3 minutes left. Let's go. Jeb Bush. He has, of course, announced his candidacy for presidency finally this past week. I'm glad he finally did. So now he is a candidate, you know, whatever. But that being said, I don't know about you, but every single Facebook post that I read, everybody was going, when Bush's name came up, the general tone was, oh, hell no. I did not see, I saw one, and I'm not kidding you, one positive comment about Bush running for president. And that came from someone that you and I both respect and we like, a guy named Kermit, who said that he was actually more conservative than Ronald Reagan was. And I thought, I said, stop right now, quit drinking the Kool-Aid.
I think Kermit was drinking something.
I'm thinking Kermit was had about too much of a fifth of Jack Daniels or something. But the thing is, and I love Kermit to death, but the thing is, I don't agree with that statement at all.
No.
But I'm sure Kermit could come up with reasons why he says that, because he's good at that. But I here's the thing. Everybody that I know, except for Kermit, does not want Jeb Bush to run, and they sure as hell don't want him to win. And most of them have said if he gets the nomination, they're not even going to vote.
Yeah.
So that tells me that something's wrong. I mean, Kermit may be right, and the rest of us are wrong, which I'm sure he would agree with that. But I just don't.
Here's the if you need a little bit of a reason why you said what you just said, look at his how he projects himself right now. What do you see on TV or on the signs?
Well,
better is what do you not see in the signs?
Well, his last name's not in his
exactly.
logo.
Exactly. His name,
Jeb.
You don't see Bush in the sign. You see Jeb with exclamation mark. There is a point for that because he doesn't want to be associated with the Bush name right now.
He does when it comes to fundraising because of the Bush machine. But when it comes to common everyday people who are going to vote, cast their vote, yeah, you're right. Because let me tell you something. I was talking to a good friend just the other day. We got on just a few seconds. Talking to a good friend the other day, and I was mentioning that about Donald Trump in the race. And I said, there's about 10, 12 people. If I gave you their names, I said, you'd probably know them. I said, and I was sharing with them, there's like 20, 25 people who run for president in the Republican Party. I said, you'd never even heard of. And he said, like who? And so I started out giving him the names of the ones I thought he would know. Do you know the only person that he knew out of all the names I gave him were Bush and Trump? He'd never heard of Marco Rubio. He had never heard of Ted Cruz. He never heard of Dr. Ben Carson. He had, and of course, now this guy's not politically,
obviously
into that. Obviously, he has voted Democrat more than he has Republican, but he has voted for both. So he's one of those, you know, guys that kind of goes both ways sometimes. But there's a ton of people like that out there, Ken. That
yes.
So when you just say Jeb. On his logo, he's hoping to all the people who don't know, or maybe they might have heard of Bush, they won't recognize him as being part of the Bushes until literally when they get to the voting booth and they see Jeb, you go, I wonder if he's related to the other Bush, and punch the, you know what I'm saying? That's what's going on there, I'm telling you.
Well, I mean, you look at Barack Obama got reelected a second term, and we both were like, huh? How did that happen? I think that was because of a lot of people going, well, it's all I know that name.
Yeah.
I don't know Romney.
Yeah, okay. That's it. We're out of time. We got some more to talk about, but we don't have the time. So, Ken, you want to take us out?
Well, I just want to say real quick that my primos, our thoughts and prayers are the people who lost those lives in Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah.
I apologize for our president who politicized that about a gun law thing, and he never should have came out and said that. That was just bad timing. So
one thing about the Charleston thing, here's what I love about it: the way the people responded there. No race riots. No nothing. I mean, none of that stuff going on.
Yes.
When Al Sharpton said he was going to South Carolina, the people in South Carolina and Charleston said, "Stay." Basically, said, "Stay with the hell where you're at. Yeah. We don't need you down here." And they got together, white and black, all together, all praying. And the people who had their family members killed, when the guy goes up for his arraignment, they're telling him they've already forgiven him. I mean, that is unbelievable. They already have forgiven him and hope that the Lord would have mercy on his soul.
I had tears, and that's all they talked about was forgiveness. So, yeah.
Unbelievable. I mean, you talk about a good example of what it means to be a Christian, but B, just to be a good people, good person. What a community.
Yeah.
They did not let this tear them apart, that they actually brought them together. That's good. Okay, Ken.
If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. Ronald Wilson Reagan, our 40th president of these United States.
That's it. We're out of here. We'll see you next time.